This is the word of God for God's people. Let us rejoice in understanding it today. Seems like an odd scripture selection for Father's Day or for Baptism Sunday, and it is. But I'm going to try to draw this together in a way that I think can bless us today. Well, our scripture from the Gospel of Luke describes this man possessed by so many demons that they simply called him Legion. Legion. Now, when I was at a military school back in college, my senior year, I held the rank of cadet first lieutenant. Yeah, I was a big deal. And I served in the position of battalion adjutant. Now, a battalion may sound like a lot of people, but in actuality, it's nothing compared to a legion. A battalion for us was about 500 to 600 young men broken into four companies. And I was the adjutant because I had a big mouth. And they could hear me on the parade ground. Can you believe that? No? It's true. A legion, however, particularly during the height of the Roman power, was often used to refer to an entire army, upwards of 5,000 or 6,000 men. So the implication here is that this poor man is not haunted by just a few demons in the tombs of Gerasa. Not even hundreds of demons, but thousands upon thousands of demons. Is it any wonder that the chains and shackles could not hold him, and that he was driven mad by all these voices? Well, I've sometimes been asked about demons. You know, when you go to seminary and you become ordained, people think you're an immediate authority on things like demons. Well, I'm not, okay? I can't answer all those questions. But people are curious and they want to know, are demons still active in our world? But like so many things, I don't know. What I can tell you is that I think that in times of our ancient people, in the times when these stories were written, that there were in fact some things that we attribute now to perhaps mental illnesses or other diseases that they attributed then to demon possession. See, back then, they didn't have the slightest idea what might cause unusual or unexplainable behavior, much less how to treat it. So they explained these things as demons inhabiting our minds and our bodies. But there are still things that happen today, I think, that go beyond our scientific ability to understand and explain. Are these things the result of demons, I wonder? One thing I am certain about is the existence of evil in this world. And it manifests itself in many ways. Perhaps mental illness is just one of those. Just this week, we've watched in horror as evil once again revealed itself in a place called Orlando, Florida. Innocent lives lost in another senseless act of terrorism. Is evil still present in our world? Absolutely it is. Absolutely. And something I've shared with you before is that evil is persistent and untiring. For me, the most obvious reference to this comes in Luke 4, and it follows the time when Jesus is in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. Luke 4:13 says this, "When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time." Until an opportune time. So after failing to lure Jesus through the temptations with promises of power and riches, did the devil give up? No, the devil didn't give up. He withdrew to watch and scheme and prepare and wait for another chance to come and deceive and tempt this victim. Even as Christians, believers and followers of Jesus Christ, I think there are times when the evil that's within us and around us also takes over. Things such as depression, anxiety, sickness, weariness, addictions, anger, and fear enter into our lives. And it's through these things that Satan is so skillful at attacking us. Satan can and will attack us in ways that can take the most reasonable person, the most responsible person, the most God-filled person that we know, and make them something quite different. And oftentimes, instead of turning to God to seek courage and renewal, we give in to these things. We succumb to the attacks, and we say to ourselves, we become just like Elisha. What's the use? I've done all I can for you, Lord, and still I'm under attack. What's the use? Well, it can be depressing. If Satan can infiltrate Elijah's heart, and who is Elijah? One of the greatest, most powerful prophets. And if Satan can get to Elijah, what chance do we have? Well, brothers and sisters, this morning I have good news for you. God does not give up on us. And God will provide us with help, with the help that we need. And it may take some effort on our part. We may need to be open to help and to healing in our lives. We need to be receptive to God's healing voice and touch. And God has also provided us with tools that we can use to resist and fight back, perhaps. This led me to Ephesians chapter 6. In these familiar verses, I'm sure you've heard them. They say, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist." Truth. "Put on the breastplate of righteousness." Righteousness. "The shoes for your feet. Put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace." Peace. "With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation." And here's the only offensive weapon in that whole list. "And the sword of the Spirit," which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have a weapon right here within our grasp. Well, look at this most hopeless figure in our scripture lesson today. This poor demon-possessed man in Gerasene. What hope could he possibly have after all these years? But Jesus arrives on the scene. And the demon-possessed part of the man recognizes this as someone different, as Jesus, as the Son of God. And they recognize him as an authority with power far greater than their own. A figure with the authority and power to heal. And the demons respond in great fear to this authority as Jesus commands them out. And the man, the one consumed and out of control for all that time, is restored. But that's not the end of the story, is it? For now, it's the people in the town, the people watching over the herd of pigs. Why would a bunch of Jews on the Sea of Galilee need pigs anyway? I've never been able to figure that out. That's an unclean animal. They're not supposed to touch it. George, you got the answer? No. Let me know if you know. But they're upset. They obviously, those pigs are good for something. And they are someone's livelihood. And those pigs are now gone. But the people have watched and they've observed this miracle. And now they become the fearful ones. When the people see that this man, who they're used to being demon-possessed and out of his mind, is now clothed and speaking and sitting at the feet of Jesus, rather than being grateful and thankful, what are they? They're fearful. They don't like it. Something has happened and changed their sense of reality, their idea of what is right and the way the world is supposed to be. Well, I wonder sometimes, would people be afraid if we were cured of all our demons? Do we have demons? And I'm going to use demons and evil kind of synonymously here, because I think demons come in many forms. Some I've mentioned already, but they include such things as possessiveness, greed, self-centeredness, prejudice, exclusiveness, resentment. Unfortunately, too many of our churches today embrace some of these very same demons, and they make excuses for why they can't be cast out. You see, after a while, our churches are just like us, right? They're made up of people, fallible people, sinful people. And we become very comfortable with these things in our lives. We decide that we know them, and we have a way of convincing ourselves that they belong. And unfortunately, evil has a way of entering even our most cherished and loving relationships, our family relationships, our closest friendships. I think one of the hazards, of course, of following the lectionary is me being here on a Sunday morning, Father's Day, beautiful baptisms, lovely sunshine, and I'm talking about demon possession. But there's a reason for that. Someone here needs to hear this message. And the scripture reference today talks about these presence of demons that haunt us. But my friends, we have the power to resist the demons, to evict the demons in our lives. And one of the things I found as I was led from different scriptures to different scriptures, these words in Ephesians that I read, that talk about putting on the armor of God. Well, let me share with you the introductory scriptures that come just before them. It says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Now don't confuse that with your own discipline and instruction. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That can be quite different from our earthly idea of discipline and instruction. Well, I think the last thing that the evil forces of this world want to see are strong mothers and strong fathers, wholesome home environments where children can experience love and support, where they know they can go in difficult times and be held and forgiven and loved. That's the last thing. That's the last thing demons want. Last thing they want is for the Nice family to be baptized on a Sunday morning with a conviction and a hope that they will draw nearer to the Lord in their spiritual walk. The last thing Satan wanted is for Carol Hayes to be baptized this morning. A testament to her desire to love and to show that love of Christ in her life. And I challenge that there is not a person here that doesn't have something similar in your life that perhaps we need to turn over to God, where we need to call on God to forgive us and give us hope and healing. Well, you take from this message what you will. What we do about our demons really is up to us. Do we find continued reasons to welcome them in our lives? Or do we work with God and with one another to kick them out? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for this beautiful day, for the beautiful children and the older people that have been baptized in a desire to draw you into their hearts and to live a different life, different from what this culture and this society demands of us. Lord, help us to be your shining light to this community, within our own families, Lord. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.